We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back. Fasten your seatbelt. Grab your coffee. Here we go. The Champions of the People Injury Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We have offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, Steamboat Springs. We do cases all over the state of Colorado and have for years. We do injury cases. We do workers' compensation cases. We're glad to help you. We've written a book on workers' compensation. We've written a book on injury cases. We've written a book on hit and run. We call it Cowards of the Street Hit and Run. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com, and you can download free an ebook, or if you want a hard copy, just call our law firm. Okay, so we were talking about common law bad faith. You're in this accident. One more time, you're rear-ended. The at-fault party's insurance is $25,000, the minimum. That's not enough. Your medical bills are $60,000, and your insurance company, under the UIM provision, your own insurance company, is what we're talking about, offers you $15,000, and that doesn't even pay for your medical bills. So, Brad, then this whole area of common law bad faith and statutory bad faith morphs into and includes, many times, deceptive trade practices.
It certainly does. And that's why we have a statute that specifically talks about deceptive trade practices. Last time I looked, Gary, I think there's well over 30 different entries of what can be a deceptive trade practice when you start putting them all together and you start looking at them, what kind of information they're using, how they're using the information, how fast they're using the information, what they're doing with the information. Unfortunately, a lot of times, because of the way things are written, and it's not the legislature's fault. Once again, this is what insurance companies and insurance defense lawyers do. They try to put together complications. They try to make it hard. They try to confuse the entire issue, because if they can confuse the issue, then they have a better chance of confusing juries or making it look like it's much more complicated. Now, when you first started out today, and before you heard this show, you probably thought, well, gee, it sure seems like you wouldn't have an unreasonable delay, and we ought to be able to know it when we see it. But insurance companies will start talking about whether or not something is really an unfair trade practice or something that shouldn't be done, or something that insurance companies normally do, and how they think it is fair to do things that really are not correct. Our Colorado legislature has gone so far as to have to put in things like that it's an unfair trade practice to mislead or misrepresent the financial condition of any person or the legal reserve system upon which a life insurer operates. They've gone so far as to say in insurance companies, you can't misrepresent the benefits available. You can't misrepresent the dividends or shares or a surplus to be received on any insurance policy. You can't misrepresent certain things. That, you know, think about it. Should you really have to pass a law to tell an insurance company you can't misrepresent stuff? But yet the insurance company will do it. And it comes down to unfair trade practices. What in the world are they doing? And are they doing it in a way that is honest and fair to their own insured?
You know, sometimes these insurance companies do pay, and sometimes they do pay a fair amount. So we're not talking about those cases. We're talking about the insurance companies or the agents or the adjusters that don't. And that happens a lot. So there are good insurance companies out there, and that needs to be considered in this whole picture. But we're talking about the ones that don't pay or visit upon you circumstances where they're going to delay or deny. Remember the statutory bad faith cause of action, delay or denial that's not reasonable. Says part and part of this whole process, and as a subset, right, of this bad faith, statutory bad faith, and common law bad faith, as a subset, we have the Deceptive Trade Practices Act, which really sets forth specific guidelines. So if you file a claim with your insurance company and you don't hear back from them, and they don't fairly investigate or quickly or promptly investigate your claim, that is one of the elements of a deceptive trade practice, which then goes into common law bad faith. And I think you see how this works. If they don't adopt reasonable standards to investigate your claim. But a lot of what happens is they come out or they review your medical records in an injury claim, and they say, okay, we're going to offer you, in our example, $15,000. but that doesn't even pay your medical bills. Can that by itself be an act of bad faith? Can that create an act of bad faith when they completely ignore the rest of your medical bills? And we're not even talking about the rest of your damages, injuries, and losses.
Of course. And it should be an act of bad faith. It should be something for which they have to. And remember, if you don't have these statutes, they go, so what? It's not going to affect us. If lawyers don't institute these practices and don't attack these practices, if lawyers don't go after these practices and use these statutes, it's so what? We're going to ignore your medical bills. We're not going to consider them. We're not going to reasonably and promptly even look into them. We're not going to use people who are supposed to be qualified and trained to look into them. And a lot of times, I believe even the selective choice of certain experts can be bad faith, because they know they're picking people who they know are not going to be neutral in their review of the medical records and medical bills. But as they pick these people, as they do this, they know it's bad faith, and they know what they're doing. And you need a statute that gives some teeth to the fact that they didn't properly consider the medical bills. Because if not, you go in and you prove they didn't properly consider the medical bills, they should have considered the medical bills. They go, oh, sorry, I guess the jury's right, we should have considered the medical bills. We'll pay you what the medical bill amount is. Well, now you've waited a year to 2 years to be able to get your medical bills paid. You've gone through all the hassles that are there because of not having your bills paid. You've had to use a lawyer. You've had to go to trial. You've had to go through a deposition. Your lawyer is going to charge you. And now you're in a situation where you're going, well, wait a minute, whoa, how do I come out even close to equal or even when I've had all this expense just to get my medical bills paid?
Right, and you know, and then you say, well, I bought $250,000 of UIM because Bell and Pollock told me to buy the highest amounts I could buy, or I bought $500,000 of UIM with my own car insurance company, so I would be protected and covered, and they're not willing to pay me, and they're going to make me go to litigation, and they won't even pay for my medical bills, and I paid them my premium for 26 years. What is going on here? What is all this about? That's what this is about. It gives teeth to your argument. It gives teeth to your position. But you must be able to fight. You can win this war. You can win this war. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900, 795-5900, or go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Now I want to just do a little diversion here, not much, but a little diversion. Brad just said something that was critical and very important. Because when you file a UIM claim and you're injured, and they're looking at your medical bills, they say your medical bills are not reasonable and necessary, so we're not going to pay all of them, we're going to pay part of them. And I said this before, that's the same as saying to your doctor that you go to, your own doctor, your family doctor you've been to for 20 years, he or she's not charging you reasonable charges. Wow. Next point, when you file this claim, this UIN claim, and they're going to send you to one of their doctors. And so, Brad, let's talk about this part of the bad faith, because they're going to say, okay, you have orthopedic injuries, or you got spinal surgery evaluation, and so we need a second opinion, or you got a physical pain physiatrist that we're going to use. And so we, the insurance company, we're going to ask you to send your client, the injured victim, you're the injured victim, we're going to send you to one of our doctors, or more than one of our doctors. How about three of our doctors? Let's just talk about those doctors.
And that's the problem. These doctors that they send, that they'll send you to, are doctors who spend a lot of their time, a great deal of their time, doing nothing more than doing these reports for insurance companies. They do an examination of you. Usually it's a very cursory examination. It's, let's take a look at you. They do it in a way to try and trick you. Most of the time they want to trick you. And then they get paid a lot of money by the insurance company to say that you don't have these injuries, to say that the treatment wasn't appropriate, to say that the bills were too high. These same doctors who were saying that, if you broke down the rates they're charging and how much they're getting from the insurance companies, they're charging more than your doctors are to take care of you. But they're out there, and they are doctors who make millions of dollars from the insurance company. It's many on an annual basis in order to be there for the insurance company to say there's nothing wrong with you, to say that you're not hurt. And this becomes a very, very difficult practice, because these doctors are trained. They've, a number of them will go through whatever it takes to be able to be smooth and look really good on the witness stand, to be able to attack your doctors. They like to go cross-discipline so they can attack a number of your doctors, and they do that because now they know they're upping the expense for you to get your own doctors in. Your own doctors are not these hired guns, as they would be called, to be able to go into court, so your own doctors are concerned about treating you. And next thing you know, they're being attacked, being told that what they've done for you isn't appropriate, or what they've done for you shouldn't have been done, or what they've done for you is being overcharged. And all of a sudden, a doctor who just simply brought you in and gave you care is now being put in the firing line by doctors who have been hired by insurance companies to do nothing more than to attack.
Right. And so your own doctor, they're attacking your own doctor either impliedly or explicitly by saying, right, that your doctor's charges aren't reasonable and necessary. It's almost laughable sometimes when you look at the charges, and Brad just said it, when you look at the charges of these so-called insurance doctors you are sent to, right? You're sent to because you're injured, and we have the right under the policy to send you to a medical doctor. It's almost laughable when their charges are higher than your doctor's charges, your personal physician charges. But they're saying your personal physician charges aren't reasonable. They're not reasonable, but they charge, the doctors from the insurance companies charge more than the primary treating doctors. So it's almost laughable. It's not laughable because it's so serious. You need to know what you're doing. You need to have a legal game plan. Bell and Pollock has one for you. Give us a call at 303-795-5900. 795-5900. You get a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. You get a free copy of our book. You can have one right now. You can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, and download a free e-copy of our book. You're going to go through this navigation of this insurance maze. What do you want on your side? Experience? Yes. Lawyers the insurance companies understand will fight? Yes. Bell and Pollock, our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Honey, the kids are going nuts. Everybody's stir crazy, and my patience is running thin.
It's almost lunchtime. Why don't we go to Caitlin's? Their food is amazing, and they have those awesome baskets filled with fun to keep the kids pacified and entertained.
Oh, that sounds perfect. What is it you like to get there again?
Ooh, for starters, I love their green chili and chicken nachos. Then, I usually get Mo's queso with the ground chuck patty, cheddar, and jack cheese, diced onions, tomatoes, and green chilies between two warm flour tortillas, served with a side of green or red chili. Yum! What about you?
Well, I'm famished, so I think I'll get one of their 13 sandwiches. Maybe I'll get one of each. And I love the way you can get their sandwiches made into wraps instead. Maybe one of their bacon green chili cheeseburgers, or their salads, or
honey,
or their
rein it in.
Mushrooms.
Kids, we're going to Caitlin's.
Caitlin's Restaurant, at the corner of Mississippi and South Birch Street, just east of Colorado Boulevard in Glendale. Open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Caitlin's Restaurant. You'll love it every bite of the way.
There is probably nothing more important when you're injured or have had an accident than to get the right people on your side. People who know what they're doing and truly care about you. You need the best medical team, and you also need Champions of the People, Bell and Pollock. Take it from me. Bell and Pollock are the injury attorneys other attorneys call because they know what you should know. They have the most experience and they're the very best. They get it done. Always available for a free consultation. Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People at championsofthepeople.com.
It is time for you to do the right thing if you get hurt, and that is stop trying to deal with insurance companies and all this other legal stuff while you're still trying to recover from an accident that might not even have been your fault. It's time to do a smart thing and call Bell and Pollock. You know, when I met Gary and Brad at Bell and Pollock, I went into their offices with their big championsofthepeople.com on the wall. And I thought to myself, okay, champions of the people, let's see what you got. Then I talked to them, and the way they view the law and their role in society as lawyers is so much like the way my dad used to practice law that I was like, okay, I have to work with you guys. Gary and Brad have done a show for over a decade on KHOW where they give out free legal advice. They've been given a ton of awards from the Colorado Supreme Court for their pro bono work. They do a lot of appointments that are not necessarily going to turn into business for them, but they're happy to answer questions for people who just need a little help. They view their role as fighting for the little guy, no matter what kind of help the little guy needs. So if you've been hurt in an accident or you've lost someone because of someone else's negligence, call Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900 for the team at Bell and Pollock. You can also find them online at championsofthepeople.com. And please remember to tell them you heard about it from Mandy Connell.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Are you ready? You better be ready. Fasten your seatbelt, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. We're the champions of the people. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We've helped injured victims for over 30 years each. We've been in business together for a long time. We know what to do and how to do it and how to navigate this insurance maze. You can win this war. But first, you must understand it's a war. Second, you must understand how and why you do what you do to win the war. You have to have a strategy. Or strategies. Enter Bell and Pollock's legal game plan. We trademark protected it. Our experience is packed into that legal game plan. All right, now, under our example, we've been using the show today. You're rear-ended, you're at a stoplight. The at-fault party has the minimum $25,000 of insurance coverage. This all could apply if they had no insurance whatsoever. You go make a claim, your medical bills are $60,000, you make a claim with your own insurance company for the balance of your damages, injuries, and losses. And they say, your own insurance company says we're going to pay you, in our example, $15,000 extra. That's how we value your claim. And then they don't pay. And then we got the Fisher case.
Well, yeah. A practice the insurance companies like to do. Now, for many of you, this is the insurance company that you love so much that you've been paying premiums to and you think they wouldn't do this to. Yes, they will. The practice they used to like to do is they used to say, okay, we know you got these medical bills and we know you got these people pressing on you for payment and you've been turned over to collection. And yeah, we'd be willing to give you $15,000 if you want to waive your right for everything else. You want to waive your right for the rest of your money. And you go, well, wait a minute, I have a $100,000 policy. I don't agree with you. I think I should get the full $100,000. So I want to fight over the $85,000. I agree with you that I should get $15,000 and you agree I should get $15,000. Why don't you send me the $15,000 and we'll fight over $85,000. The insurance companies used to, until the Fisher case came out, it was about four years ago.
Yeah, about four years ago.
4 or 5 years ago. The Fisher case came out and said, wait a minute. Insurance company, if you know you owe a certain amount, if you agree you owe a certain amount, pay them. Which, you know, really? Should it have taken, once again, a Supreme Court to have to tell an insurance company to do that? Now, the insurance companies came, oh, we want to get it all settled up in one deal. We want to get it all wrapped up at one time. It's too expensive for us to send this money out and then fight over the remaining amount. We want to get it all wrapped up at one time. What they're really saying is they wanted the leverage to be able to work you over to say, we've got this little carrot of $15,000 that would greatly affect your life of being able to get rid of maybe bill collectors, be able to help you with respect to debts or problems you run into because of your injuries. We don't want to give you that. We want to hold that over your head as an enticement to get you to give up rights. And fortunately, our Supreme Court looked through that and said, wait a minute. If you acknowledge you owe that money, send it. And of course, you know, out of that comes what from the insurance company? The next step is we don't want to tell you. We shouldn't have to tell you. We shouldn't have to tell you anything about that. We're not going to tell you what our analysis is. We're not going to tell you what our evaluations are. We're not going to tell you any of that. We're going to keep it all a secret because that's a secret. It's our negotiating point and our negotiating practice to be able not to tell you that and negotiate with you. Which once again, then we had to go in and point out that's an unfair practice.
Isn't that a deceptive trade practice? They value your claim at $15,000 under our example, and they won't pay you. This bears repeating. They valued it at $15,000. That's not enough. Your medical bills are $60,000. That's not enough. But they valued it, and when they value it, the Fisher case by the Colorado Supreme Court says you got to pay it. Now the lawyer lingo and insurance lingo in the state now is: did they make any Fisher payments? Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, Fisher. Did they make a Fisher payment? A Fisher payment is once they determine what the value of your claim is. It may be wrong. It may be low. But they determine the value, so they have to pay you right now. The old practice was, well, we determine your value is 15 grand, but we're not going to pay you anything. We're not going to pay you the 15 grand until you, as Brad just said a minute ago, settle your case completely and sign away all your rights to the remaining 85 grand. So if you do that, we'll pay you the 15,000. You see how that worked? The Fisher case changed it. But now they try to wiggle out of that by calling it a settlement. It wasn't a value. We didn't value the case, they say. We tried to settle your case. If you ever see these letters from these insurance companies, that's exactly what they say. We will offer you $15,000 to settle your case. Then they say it was a settlement. It wasn't a valuation. It was a settlement offer. So it's protected. And that's how they try to get around it.
Sure. Now, it's a new way. The amazing part about insurance companies is they'll sit there and they'll watch for any law or any case that comes out that affects what they're doing, that identifies that they're doing it wrong. And rather than going, okay, I'm doing it wrong, let's change our practices to comply with the law and to be appropriate, they look and say, how can we get around it and continue doing it, only call it a different thing? So, you know, we're just going to call it a different manner or method by which we're doing business. So it used to be they'd say, well, we valued this at $15,000. We're not going to pay you the $15,000 unless you want to sell your whole claim. And there the war would be on. Fisher came out and said, if you value it at $15,000, send them the $15,000. Fight about the parts that you're fighting about. And don't hold what you know you owe. So what do? They go around it by saying, oh, we haven't evaluated it at all. We're just offering you $15,000 to settle your case so that you go away, and they hold that $15,000 out trying to get around the Fisher case. Insurance companies will continually do this. The sooner it's recognized that when you've been hurt, none of the insurance companies are your friends, the faster you'll understand that you need to get lawyers involved to protect your interests, to be able to make sure that you're not going to end out being penalized simply because you thought the insurance company would deal with you fairly.
This is war. You can win the war. You have to have attorneys that win the war. You have attorneys that have been to war before. 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Why are we talking about all this today? Why are we talking about Fisher payments? Why are we talking about deceptive trade practices? Because when they won't pay you, and in our example, you were injured, your medical bills are $60,000 and ongoing. When they won't pay you, they start to fall into the area of bad faith insurance practices. When they delay or deny your payment without a reasonable basis to do so, they start to fall into the statutory area. And now there's more leverage in your favor because the statute, if you claim under the statutory bad faith statute, you can get 2 times the amount of the covered benefit. Did you hear this? 2 times the amount of the covered benefit, plus in some cases, attorney's fees.
And that's appropriate. Why is it appropriate? Go back to the beginning of the show when we talked about what it takes to get involved in one of these and to force the insurance company to pay you. The insurance companies used to know and used to take the position that, yeah, we're doing all these unfair practices, but if all we have to do at the end is pay what we refuse to pay and that's it, then they know you can't come after them. You couldn't do anything. If you didn't have 2 times covered benefit plus attorney's fees plus costs available to you, the insurance companies would drag you out every single time saying, we know that 99% of you will not come after us. Heck, they know that there's probably the majority still won't come after them because it's too much of a hassle. It takes too much time out of their lives and they're still the gamble. Are they going to be able to get in? Are you going to be able to get the 2 times covered benefit? Are you going to be able to get attorney's fees? Are they going to be able to at least blunt that by saying they were right on 1 or 2 issues? Because they are fully aware of the fact that you're not in the business of litigation. You're in the business of raising children, of running a household, of doing your job, of getting a paycheck, of enjoying your days with in your time off, rather with your family and with friends, rather than in having it down at a lawyer's office, poring over information that may help you or that has to help you in a case.
But, you know, many times you have no choice. Many times they put it right in your face and they're not going to pay you, and they're not going to pay the 100 grand. They're not even going to pay you 25 grand. They're going to pay the extra 15 grand. And if you don't like it, just do something about it. And that's where we can help you. 303-795-5900. 5900. That's 795-5900. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. I'm Gary Bell along with Brad Pollock. We've done cases all over the state of Colorado for over 30 years. So let's just see what we talked about today. Bad faith. First of all, you have an insurance contract. That doesn't say you can get two times your damages. That doesn't say you can get attorney's fees and costs. So then you have common law bad faith if they don't pay you properly. You also have statutory bad faith when they delay or deny your payment without a reasonable basis to do so. I'm going to repeat that. When they delay or deny your payment without a reasonable basis to do so. And if they just arbitrarily decide, or if they have a computer program that you don't know anything about that decides what they're going to pay you, is that a reasonable basis to do that? The computer program is in their favor. When they send you to their insurance company doctors, and I would really like to spend more time on that today, but they do, and you're going to a doctor that has seen 280 patients in the past 1 year, and they're not patients, they're just evaluations for insurance companies, and they get paid six figures, seven figures a year, hundreds of thousands of dollars, over $1 million to evaluate people like you, what kind of report do you think they're going to write? Is that an act of bad faith? Can you claim bad faith for that? You have to have attorneys that know the rules. We can help you. Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900, 795-5900. Another question, when they value your claim, and this can apply to MedPay if they don't pay your medical bills. We're talking about UIM coverage today. But if they don't pay your claim, if they value it at $15,000, have you received your Fisher payments? Did they pay you how they valued the case? Yes or no? What did they do? Did they try to hold it over your head to make you waive other rights to pay you the $15,000? You're not going to put up with this. You're going to fight. You're going to win this war. You're going to call Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900, our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people. See you next week.